Our God and Heavenly Father, we thank Thee for the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ, that Thou hast called us to Thee. Thou hast asked us to come, that we might receive the blessing of God, and given us the assurance that all the mighty power of God is available to bless those who draw nigh unto Thee. We thank Thee for it. Add Thy blessing to us as we study. For Thy name's sake we ask it. Amen. As we continue our study in the Gospel according to Matthew, we come now in the 8th chapter and to a portion wherein we find the Lord Jesus testing those who would follow Him. We'll find this in Matthew 8, verses 18 on to 22. And this tells an interesting situation when two different persons came saying that they wanted to follow the Lord Jesus Christ. And we'll notice that the Lord Jesus dealt differently with them, which brings to our mind that anybody who comes to say that they want to follow the Lord Jesus Christ, the Lord Jesus looks in the heart, and He sees whether or not that person is actually ready and willing to follow Him. Now let us see how these are reported to us. Now when Jesus saw great multitudes about Him, He gave commandment to depart unto the other side of the lake, the other side of that part of the country. And a certain scribe came and said unto Him, Master, I will follow Thee whithersoever Thou goest. And of course you will remember that the scribe is a man who has learned in the Scriptures. This is a scholar, an educated man. And he came to the Lord Jesus and said, Master, I will follow Thee whithersoever Thou goest. I have a mind to be one of Thy disciples, and I would like to be the one to follow Thee. And Jesus saith unto him, The foxes have holes, and the birds of the air have nests, but the Son of Man hath not where to lay His head. Which is a way of saying, you'd better think it over. If you have in mind that you're going to follow Me anywhere that I lead, it's going to cost you. You won't be any better than I am. I have nothing. I don't even have a place to stay. And if you're going to think about following Me, remember, that's the way it's going to be with you. And so He warned this man of personal privation. It will cost you to follow Me. We have no evidence in this story as to whether or not the young man then came anyway. We have no evidence of that. All that we have here is to see that the Lord Jesus would actually have us seriously consider the cost when we say that we're going to follow Him. In other words, you can't follow the Lord Jesus Christ for free. It's going to cost. You don't have to pay anything. You just have to give up things. You'll have to give up everything about yourself. Now let us read on. Another of His disciples said unto Him, Lord, suffer me first to go bury my father. But Jesus said unto him, Follow me, and let the dead bury their dead. Here again, to understand this, one would think that the Lord Jesus could look into the very heart. And He saw here a young man who would be willing to follow, but a man who felt he had certain personal obligations to other people, social obligations. By the way, this matter of going and burying his father would seem to be an Oriental custom, which would mean that the son would stay home until the father died. So it would be a case of saying, let me carry out my obligation as a son in this family until my father dies, and when my father dies, then I'll be free to follow you. To him the Lord Jesus said, Follow me. In other words, spiritual relationships are more important than any human relationship. Let the dead bury the dead. Let the people who have no personal call from God and who are insensitive to that call, so that they're not following it, let them be the ones to take care of the others who have died in the same state. I do not think the Lord Jesus at this point would properly be considered as showing a callous frame of mind. But what He is saying in a very practical way is that there is no social obligation so great that it should stand between you and your doing what the Lord God would want you to do. Nothing is as important as obeying the inward call of God, obeying the will and the mind of God. And so you have in this passage that we have been discussing two persons, very interestingly. For one, apparently when the Lord Jesus looked into his heart, he warned him, perhaps warned him of something he hadn't thought of, brought to his mind something he hadn't considered. And he warns him, I'm warning you, following me will cost you. It'll cost you everything. I don't have anything. You follow me, that's the way you'll be. Now, when the second young man, who probably had it in him to follow regardless, would accept any kind of privation or anything else, to him, the Lord Jesus, when he saw him, and this young man said, there's just one thing holding me, my personal obligation to my family. I have social obligations because in our family the custom is we do like this and we do like that. To whom the Lord Jesus said, it's not what's in your family that counts. It's in what the will of God that counts. Now you come and do God's will. And so he called him to it, indicating that the relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ goes before, is greater than, it is to be considered first, so far as the individual is concerned. And now we read on, right after that, we come to a very exciting experience that the disciples had. It's the occasion of the storm at sea. When he was entered into a ship, his disciples followed him, and they all got into this boat. And behold, there arose a great tempest in the sea, insomuch that the ship was covered with waves, but he was asleep. Now, this is a practical situation as it happened to them, but it has spiritual meaning to us. And here we're reminded of something that comes out in Scripture over and over again. If you start out walking with the Lord, does not mean that everything's going to be sweet and lovely from now on. Because you've made up your mind that you're going to walk with the Lord does not mean that the sun will shine brightly all the time and that's all that's ever going to happen to you. Actually, deciding to follow the Lord and walking with the Lord may actually mean for you real danger, as it did here. Now, the only reason those disciples were in that ship was that they followed the Lord. It wasn't their fault that they were out on that lake. They followed him. And following him, getting into the boat at that time, wound up with them being in a very dangerous storm situation. His disciples came to him and awoke him, saying, Lord, save us, we perish. And that, to our minds, is a rather striking thing. It's very dramatic to think that while the storm was raging as it was, he was asleep, apparently unconcerned. The disciples didn't understand it. They went and woke him up. That shows they had great confidence in him. And in a certain sense, however, they all recognized his responsibility, as it were. They were there because he asked them to come. But also, if anybody could help them, he could. So they woke him. And by the way, this is a certain aspect of the matter of praying. When you are in trouble, calling upon God. They were in trouble, they called on the Lord. And he saith unto them, why are ye fearful, O ye of little faith? Why are you upset? Now, let us not misunderstand the situation. The storm was a bad storm. And I can picture any number of us who were saying, well, I certainly can tell you why I'm upset. That storm's liable to sink this boat. All of which was true. And yet he said to them, why are you so distressed? Because, you see, they could have been trusting God. They could have been understanding that God would take care of them. He says, O ye of little faith. And here, let us examine this for a moment. There is such a thing as having faith, such a thing as not having faith. One person who has no faith has nothing to do with God. Another person has faith, has something to do with God. Now, the faith you have isn't all the same strength. The faith you have isn't all the same size. You can have little faith, and you can have more faith, and you can have much faith, and you can have strong faith. These people had little faith. This is not something to despise. You know what that little faith did? That little faith got them on that boat. That little faith had them following the Lord Jesus Christ. What do we mean by little faith? We would say a certain amount of faith, an initial part of faith. They had the beginnings of faith, enough to commit themselves to God. Now, they followed the Lord. They had that much. And they followed him onto the boat. They had that much. And they called on him in trouble. They had that much. Now, you might have that much faith, even if you did not know what God was going to do. Maybe you know that God is yours and that he has promised to give himself to you. And maybe you know that you'd call on God if you were in trouble. You might not know what God was going to do. You might not know how he'd get it done, but you'd call on him. That would be little faith. What I'm trying to say is this. Any faith is good. Even a little faith is very good. And a little faith will get you started. You may learn more, but that little will get you started. Then he arose, rebuked the winds and the sea, and there was a great calm. But the men marveled, saying, "What manner of man is this, that even the winds and the sea obey him?" And that is the thing that we learn in the time of crisis. Now, we don't ask for trouble. But notice, when trouble comes, we learn about the Lord. Now, here were the disciples following the Lord. Following the Lord, they got into trouble, real trouble. In the real trouble, they called on the Lord. When they called on the Lord, he heard and delivered them out of their trouble. It sounds so simple, and yet it is so profound. And you can take it with you anywhere you go as long as you live. If you start out walking with the Lord, you may run into trouble. You don't stop. You don't turn around. You don't give up. You call on God. Even if you remind him that you're only there because he asked you to come there, you call on him. And just as surely as you call on him, he will have an opportunity of answering to the glory of his name. Our God and Heavenly Father, add thy blessing to our thinking at this point. Help us in our understanding. For thy name's sake we ask it. Amen.